Let's open in a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that we can come before you. God, to hear the teaching of your word, God, to get instruction and insight for our lives, God. Father, I ask you to open our hearts and minds, God, as we begin to receive from your word. God, that we would be fertile soil, God, that you could plant your seeds of, Father, into us, God, from the truth of your word. God, that they would grow and develop in us, God, that they would bring forth and bear much fruit, God, for your glory. God, for your name's sake. God, that we would better our lives to better the lives of those around us. God, that we would be your light shining, Father, to the valley, to the people we minister and meet with, Father. God, we thank you for this. And God, I ask that you would use my tongue, God, my words and my speech, God, to deliver your message to your people today. God, that your words would come forth. God, that your direction would be leading in their lives, Father, through me. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Limitless series number 4. I've titled it today, Take a Chance. Take a chance on God. Take a chance on His limitless ability to provide for your life, to interact in your life, to produce in your life, to give into your life. But you've got to take a chance on God before you can even do that. Because if we're not taking a chance, we hold all the pieces, we hold all the chips, and we put ourselves in control. I look across headlines, you know, those little pop-up things on your computer that are always there as soon as you turn it on. And you see another professional athlete commits suicide or goes bankrupt or whatever. These multi-million dollar people that can't run a budget, so they end up going bankrupt or they end up taking their own lives because they can't find fulfillment. And I believe it's because they've kept control of all the chips. And when they've achieved all they can achieve, they said, well, I've reached the top. What can I do from here? Nothing. So life then becomes meaningless. And then they take their life because it's useless once you've reached all you can reach. But if we take our chips, our ability and our talents, what we can do, and we put them on the altar before God and say, here it is, God. This is all you've given me. This is all you've placed inside of me. And I'm turning it back over to you to do with what you will, God. And then we begin to see the limitless potential within ourselves as God begins to move through us rather than us moving through us. And we step out of the natural and begin to operate and function in the supernatural. What we don't experience on a daily basis, or at least most human beings on a daily basis. And to some people that gets kind of weird because they've never experienced it and it's brand new. But for someone who lives in the Spirit of God, who operates in the Spirit of God, it should become natural to us as Christians. Christian meaning Christ-like. Christ said, I did not do anything unless I saw the Father doing it or telling me to do it. Meaning led by God's Spirit to do what Christ did. We as Christians are supposed to operate and function in that same manner. And people can handle supernatural when they watch a lame man who's never walked in his life stand up, grab his bedroll, and walk off. People can say, that's freaking me out, but I can't deny that a lame man just walked in my presence. When the blind man's eyes are opened, say, this guy has never seen in his life, but now he's walking around saying, look at the blue sky and the beautiful birds. You cannot deny, though supernatural, you cannot deny God's power and influence in that situation. And that is the supernatural that we are supposed to show so that God may receive glory and greatness in it. I want to tell you a story. Is that okay? I took a chance once. I was down in Las Vegas. No, I'm just kidding. Whew, I was at the Itzy II. I'm just kidding. Most of you know I'm a hunting guide for my living. That's what I do. Woohoo, yeah. Got one man in buckskins applauding me. So 13 years ago, I met this guest for the first time. And at that point in my life, I wasn't really serving God, so we got along really well. Because he wasn't either. By the time he came out on the next trip with me, I had rededicated my life to Christ, said, I'm living for you, God, whatever you want. And he asked me, what's different about you? You're not the same person I hunted with before. which is good. We're supposed to do that when we accept Christ and salvation. It's supposed to change us, and we're supposed to look like something new. Christ, right? So I told him, you know, I had this deep revelation with God. You read Sink or Swim, you'll read about it. And I explained to him, and he said, well, I don't do any of that church or religious stuff. So if you ever mention God or Christ to me again, you'll never hear or see me again, because I will hit the eject button. So I said, okay, so I put it away. Now the bet is on the table. If you mention or say, I'm out of here, right? So over the years, he kept coming back and hunting with me and hunting with me and hunting with me. And in 04, he was out here elk hunting with me. First morning out, we were up in the woods, and he crawled up on this big log like this, and it was about this high off the ground, to get a better look over the brush and trees and try to look out and see. Well, on top of this log, he stepped in a rotten hole in it and fell into his knee, causing him to fall off the log backwards. So he's hanging with his knee in the log like this and hanging upside down. It twisted his knee terrible. And he was hurting in pain, and me and the other guy we were with, we had to walk him back to camp, you know, holding him, carrying his bow and everything. First day of his hunt, and now he can't hunt. So that night, I think it was that night. Yeah, that night my dad came up to our camp where we were camped. And we told him about the events of the day. So yeah, we just got on a bull, and then Ed fell in this log and hurt his knee, so we had to leave the elk and come back to camp. And my dad says, well, can I pray for you? And he was raised in Catholic church back in Pennsylvania. And so he... Of course, I know, I'm like looking at him to see what he's going to say, you know. And he's like, yeah, sure, I guess. And he's expecting my dad to go to midnight mass or something and pray for him some day down the road. My dad gets down like this in front of him and grabs a hold of this man's knee and begins to pray. And maybe all of you don't know, my dad's a prayer warrior. And when he begins to pray for a need, he gets a hold of the throne room of God. And he prays, and you can tell something's going on there. This man's not just talking. And my buddy Ed's just standing there going, what's he doing to me? So anyway, I'm just watching, observing the situation. I'm just laughing inside, but definitely not out loud. And I'm watching this happen. And he says, you know, I'm hurt. I'm just going to go home. Let's get a ride to the airport tomorrow. So we got him a ride to the airport. He goes home. He's waiting around the airport for a flight. He says, you know what? My leg's doing fine. I'm not limping today. It doesn't hurt today. He's like, what's wrong? And he was heading out of Missoula, and he had another buddy over there hunting. So he said, I'm not going to fly home. I'm going to go hunt with my other buddy. So he heads over and he hunts for 5 days with this friend, pain-free, hikes all over up and down the mountains. And I didn't know about this till like a year later when he came back on another hunt with me. He says, you know, I got to the airport that day and my knee didn't hurt. He said, I don't know what kind of magic trick your dad worked on me. I said, that wasn't a magic trick. That's called the power of God. Still knowing that his defenses were very strong against any God or Christ. I just left it at that, didn't say much else. About 4 or 5 years ago, I went on a hunt with him down in Florida. And we were down there hunting, we're sitting around the dinner table one night. And he starts giving his testimony about how God healed his leg to the outfitter and his guides and the other guests that were around the dinner table. And he said, you know, I was up in Idaho with Arby once and this happened and his dad came and prayed for me and my knee was healed. Still not a believer in Christ, but a believer in the power of the healing. So since then, it has inspired him, excited him. Of course, I have not verbally said anything to this man. I have just, until probably the last 2 years, I have just walked before him as a Christian. I have not verbally said anything directly to him, like, you need to get your life right, you're a sinner, you need to get saved. But just living before him as a Christian. And the last 2 years he's been out with me, he has just given me the ninth degree, quizzing me about this and about that. And, you know, what does God believe on this? Or what does God say about this? And this year, 2 days before Christmas, he calls me. He says, guess what I'm getting myself for Christmas? I said, what, a Porsche? I don't know. He says, a Bible. And it's the one with the red letters in it. So I'm excited. And he asked me a few questions about salvation, and I told him what it was all about and how easy and simple it is to apply to our lives. And he said, well, I'm not sure yet. I'm going to read this Bible for a bit and make my decision. I said, all right, that's fine. Go ahead. God will get you. But we have to take a chance sometimes in our lives. For me, I'm looking at him going, here's a hurting man. He's been rejected, offended. He's harboring that inside. He's in turmoil. And I want to just reach out and minister to him, talk to him. But he told me if I do that, he disappears. So for the last 13 years, I've been taking a chance, keeping my mouth shut, just praying for this man, just walking before him, leading by example and action. And I believe soon, and very soon, I'm going to see fruit of it. Amen? Sometimes your chance doesn't happen right away. Sometimes seeing God's limitlessness in whatever your situation is doesn't happen like that. Sometimes it takes time to grow and develop and mature. But if we're taking our chance on God, that puts timing in His hands and not our own. Put your timing in God's hands and not your own. Because your timing's going to get it all out of whack. My timing probably would have scared him out of Idaho and out of my life, and I probably wouldn't have seen him for the last 10 years. But instead, he keeps coming back, and he's coming again next fall. And he's going to try to swing it to get out here in March for my ordination ceremony. Yeah. Woohoo! Woo! That's an exciting day for me. For those of you who don't know, I did pass my ordination test. I passed before the board. Woohoo! So join us March 14th. It's going to be right here at the Life Center. Our District Impact Conference is coming here. It's going to be awesome. Now, where were we? Taking a chance. Let's jump into the Word of God and look at some people that took a chance on God. See how He provided for them. We're going to jump into 2 Kings chapter 4. It's right after 1 Kings. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Second Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a little oil." And we think we're on hard times in America. This lady has her two sons and a little oil. Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Do not ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars. As each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Now, I wondered what this would look like for us today in America. So I got on the computer and I looked up, what is the average debt load of a household in America? Credit card debt, average, $15,000. Student loan averages, $30,000. Home mortgage average, $150,000. So on average, that is how much? $195,000. Translate back into her day. What would you need today if you only had a little oil left in your cupboards? And that is your debt load as an average American to go pay off all your debt and still have enough to live on. For I'm guessing the rest of her time, or until God would send her another man to provide for her. The Bible isn't clear on that. But let's say for the rest of her life and her children's life until they leave the home. What would it take in your life to pay off a $200,000 debt and provide for you for the rest of your life and your family? Because that is the limitless power of God if you will yield to Him the little bit of what you have. Again, He tells this woman, go to all your neighbors, collect all the jars you can, not just a few, collect all you can. How many of us would just go to the neighbors that we know? I talked to them once across the fence. I'll go ask them, but I've never talked to them. We have to lay down our pride sometimes to get what God has for us. We have to humble ourselves before God. We have to go forth in humility and say, I'm in dire need of help. God, I come before you. God, this is all I have, just this little jar of oil. God, I need you to intercede in my life. God, I need you to intervene in my life. God, I need you to take control of my situation, my circumstances. And then we have to humble ourselves and become obedient to the word spoken into our lives. This woman was obedient to the prophet. She went around with her boys to the neighbors and collected jars. And I don't know what oil was going for then, but it must have been quite a bit. Or she collected a whole lot of jars because it paid off all her debt and provided for her and her family. Do you see the limitless nature of God? If we will humble ourselves before Him, if we will be obedient to His word and His call upon our lives, there is no measure what He will not do for us. But there is a bar we have to meet first. We have to humble ourselves. We have to be obedient to the call of God on our lives. We have to be obedient to the truth, the Word of God, and what it says about our lives. If we miss those steps, you can keep asking, but it ain't coming. It's not happening. We seek God with humility. I want to look at another scripture here in 2 Kings chapter 13. Second Kings chapter 13, verses 15 through 19. Of course, Elisha's right at the end of his life here. He's talking to King Jehoash. Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows. And he did so. Take the bow in your hands, he said to the king of Israel. When he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Open the east window, he said, and he opened it. Shoot, Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram, Elisha declared, you will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek. Then he said, take the arrows. And the king took them. Elisha told him, strike the ground. He struck it three times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you will defeat it only three times. Then Elisha was died and buried. Do we enter into God's request on our lives half-heartedly sometimes? I can picture this king just standing there like, okay, I'm going to do it to appease him. There, are you happy? God, was that good enough? Can I go now? You know, recess is about to start. My favorite show's about on. The Super Bowl's coming up. God, are you done with me? Can we get home? You know, I know God has limitless ability because the Seahawks made the Super Bowl. That's just for Debbie Capito when she listens to this CD. Whew. Yeah, okay, back to the Word of God. How often do we engage half-heartedly and we only put half of our might into it? And we just do it, okay, oh, we have to go to church, it's Sunday. Let's hurry up and get this over with so we can get back to whatever we do on Sunday afternoon. Oh, it's Wednesday church again. Well, I have to go or I won't make heaven. Oh. Do we half-heartedly serve our God? Do we just whack the arrows just because God asked us to? Okay, is that enough? I'm kind of getting tired. They're aluminum. They're not light carbon. When he says strike the ground, do we strike it until they break? Until they're destroyed? Until they're crushed? Do we enter in and fully engage into what God has asked us to do? God calls us to love our neighbors as ourself. So we take the neighbors candy canes on Christmas. Well, good for you if you do. You're at least saying hi to them. But did you notice when it was raining, they're bringing buckets out of their house and dumping them out the front door? That maybe they have a leak problem? You could help them fix that leak? Or did you notice they've been walking to town every day instead of driving? Maybe their vehicles broke down or they can't afford fuel. Did you notice the mother and husband haven't been talking for a week? Maybe they're having some relational problems and maybe you could speak some word of life or truth into the relationship. Maybe they just need a friend. Do we engage wholeheartedly when God calls us to do something? Or do we just do the bare minimum to get by? Well, this much is required, so we'll do it. Tithe is required, so I'll give my 10%, but I'm not giving a dime more. I want to meet the bar, and that's it. If you just meet the bar, God's going to just meet the bar. But if you say, God, it's back in your hands. God, what can we do with this together? God, these are my gifts and talents that you have given me. But I'm going to yield them back to you, God. God, what can we do with it? God, I'm giving you an invitation, an open door, access to my life to do what you will with me. God, to lead and direct me. And when you point and say, go, I'm going to run as hard as I can until you point me in another direction. This king, because he engaged half-heartedly, he won his next three engagements with the enemy and then was defeated by the enemy. God's blessing for him was limitless. God's will for him was limitless. But because he would not humble himself and be obedient to the word of God, he only got what he asked for. Just three little strikes, that's all I need against him. It'll be okay. I don't want to just strike the devil a little bit. I want to strike loneliness from the valley. I want to strike depression from the valley. I want to strike poverty from the valley. I want to strike marital disputes from the valley. I want to strike underage drinking from the valley. I want to strike drug abuse and drug addiction from the valley, because that's what God wants. And unless we fully engage in that, we're only going to open a window. God says, I will open the floodgates of heaven and pour out upon you. Not just the spigot. The floodgates of heaven are large and wide and full, bursting at the seams. If we only engage out of our storehouse of our blessings, we don't have a lot to give. I mean, I can help a few people with what I have at my house, but, you know, by the end of this month, I'm going to be out. It's over. Whoop. It's like the little bang guns at 4th of July. It's over. Woo, go home. Or we can get God and we can drop an atom bomb of blessing here in the Clearwater Valley. But we have to fully engage as a body of believers in Christ Jesus. And we have to get other bodies in the valley engaged as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we have to fully use our potential for the Lord. Take a chance. Put it all on the line. Say, God, I'm giving it all back to you. Win, lose, or draw, here it is. I give it to you. Let's jump into the book of Mark. Mark chapter 12. Up in the New Testament, the second book in. Mark chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 41 through 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offering were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins. Worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put everything in, all she had to live on. Too often we compare ourselves, our relationship with God, our giving, our actions to other people. Too often I compare myself against you or somebody else. Say, well, I'm doing better than them, so I'm good. I'm good. God doesn't ask you to give as I give. God asks you to give as he asks you, as an individual, to give. And if you're not giving 100% of what God has asked you to give, then you're cheating God. You're a robber and a thief. God has made us individuals in his image and likeness to be our own person, to act on our own self. We are responsible for us first. And if we aren't living up to the full potential God has placed inside of us, then we are cheating God. We are robbing God. That's not acceptable to him. So we look to God and say, God, what have you asked of me? God, what have you required of me this day? Not anybody else, but me. And am I meeting that standard? Am I achieving that? Am I going beyond that if I'm physically able? Often when I'm lion hunting with guests, I invite them along to look for tracks if they would like to. But I let them know I can cover 3-4 times the country by the end of the day if I'm on my own, because their ability does not match mine to get up and down the mountain. And I tell them we have a much greater chance of finding a cat track if we go out and look for it, and once we find one, then get you involved. But if we try to drag everyone along with us and we slow ourselves to their pace, we're robbing ourselves of the blessing God has set before us. We're robbing ourselves of our destiny in Christ. Yes, we as a body corporately move together, but we as individuals, our relationship with God the Father, with Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, that's between us. And we better be running ahead and hitting the mark every time. When God asks you to go help your neighbor do something, you don't have to wait for the rest of the church to come help. You run out there and help as God directs you, as God leads you. Because we are individuals. This widow, she gave a fraction of a penny. You know they don't even have a penny bucket for candy at a store anymore? You can't buy anything for a fraction of a penny. But it was all she had. So I'm not super good at math like some of our great mathematicians in the building, but I know if you give all you had, you gave 100%. Right? And if this is what I have and I give it all to you, God, that's 100% of what I have to offer. I cannot offer more than 110%. I know a couple of us guys are really cool and like to say we offer 110% on the job, but we can't, because you can't exceed 100% unless you couple with God. And then you're limitless in what you can do and your abilities. Amen? Yahoo. I want to look at four verses. The truth of God's word in our lives. How it applies to us. How we can be limitless. We're going to look at Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. I know it's in here. I found it one day. I just spelled it wrong in my notes. That's why I couldn't find it. Oh, God, help me. So he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." By my spirit, says the Lord. This is the supernatural that comes together in our lives. If we stand in our might and in our strength, I mean, humans are amazing. What we can do, what we can achieve, we are amazing. But there's a limit of what we can do. I can't bench press quite as much as Arnold. I'm pretty close, but there is a limit on what we can do as humans. We are made in God's image, so we are awesome. But if we don't couple with the Spirit of the Lord in our lives, we have limitations. It is limited how well we can father our children if we don't bring the Lord in, if we don't adhere to the Spirit of God speaking to us. There is a limit on how good of a husband I can be to my wife if I don't couple with the Lord and say, "God, I need you in my marriage. I need your direction. I need your strength. I need your wisdom." There is a limit on how good of an employee I can be to my place of employment unless I couple with the Spirit of God. Say, "God, give me new insight. God, don't let me get tangled up in the gossip, in the backbiting, in the whatever. God, let me be a leader by example. God, let me shine your light into the workplace." And if we don't apply God to our lives, we are limiting ourselves by our own ability. That's not what God wants for you and I. But we have to choose to invite Him and allow Him to flow through us. We're going to jump into the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Verses 28 through 30. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." How many of you need some strength today? How many of you are at the end of your rope and can't go on? The cool thing about God, when we yoke ourselves with Him, is He brings us up to His level. He doesn't come down to our level. If you're really yoking up donkeys or oxen or a team of horses, they have to be equally strengthened and sized, or they pull in a circle. One will always outpull the other one. He will drag the weaker one to death. But we couple ourselves with God. We take on His yoke, and we go from here, "I'm just not going to make it," to boo-doo-doo. Right? He pumps us up. He brings us up to where He is. But we have to make that choice. See, I don't know if I want to give God that much control in my life. I don't know. How about like I just touch it? Can I just kind of touch the yoke, get a little bit, just to get me through today? God says, I have more in store for you than just today. I have a lifetime of limitless possibilities in store for you if you will yoke yourself to me. I will give you strength and rest. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 4. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. As I'm hiking through the woods and tooling around out there, I always see fruit trees with their branches just ripped. And they're torn off, and they're barely hanging on by a little slab of skin and meat. Come spring, there's flowers on that branch that's ripped down. I mean, it looks bad. It's ugly. It's a big break, nasty. Come fall, there's fruit on that branch that is ripped down. No matter how bad those bears break them off, if they don't completely separate them from the tree, they bear fruit. No matter how badly you've been wounded or beaten or shaken down or ripped off, as long as you stay plugged into the vine, Jesus Christ, you will bear fruit. Except for he pulls you back into position so that whole wound is brought together and healed and coupled back to the vine 100%. Not like the bear brush. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety or cares on him, because he has great care for you. Humble yourselves, cast your cares, your worries, your anxieties upon him. Say, God, I don't want to think about this because I can't do anything about it anyway. I'm going to lay them at your feet. I'm going to put it all on the table. I'm going to humble myself before you and say, God, have your way. God, have your way in me. What does this look like on an everyday basis? You have an oyster. We are the oyster. The oyster gets a little grain of sand caught inside of his shell between the meat, the muscle, and the shell. This is our offense that we receive. Somebody offends us. Somebody hurts us. They take it in and they have two choices. They can allow it to infect and grow and tear up and destroy, pus and fester. Or they can grab from within themselves and begin layering it with this slimy, smooth skin, super wonderful stuff. And we can begin layering that wound or that offense with the Word of God, with what God says about us. And in the end, there's going to be an opening. And there's going to be a beautiful pearl inside if you layer that offense with the Word of God and how it applies to your life with His truth. Or you can open it and there's going to be a bunch of big green, nasty, oozy pus that comes out of it. And the nasty thing about when that happens is I was skinning this deer once. Yeah. Yeah, you know where I'm going. I'm getting down to the head and neck region, and right here in the pocket of the front shoulder where it couples with the neck, I couldn't see it on the outside. But as I'm skinning, I made a slice like this. And was pulling the hide down at the same time, and this like cantaloupe-sized sack burst. And it, boom, down my arm, boom, on my face, on my shirt, on my pants, and it's running out of this deer. And this horrible, nasty, toxic smell is coming out of this thing. And everybody clears the room. And if you take that offense inside of you, and you don't take proper care of that grain of sand, something so small and so tiny, If you don't begin layering it with the Word of God, then you become this toxic ooze that goes into public, that goes into the workplace, that walks into your home. And as a man, you're the leader of the home. You're supposed to be the thermostat. You set the temperature of your home. And if you come home oozing and stinking spiritually, you're tearing the home down, and nobody wants to be around you. And in public, at church, at school, wherever you go, if you've covered that, then you release a beautiful pearl and say, look what God can do in my life. But if we don't do that, if we keep that offense and harbor it, stew on it, gossip about it, then we release ooze and toxins into the lives of those around us. So let's be an oyster. Let's produce a pearl. Wrap it in the Word of God. Put all the chips in the table. Say, God, I've been hurt. I've been offended, but God, I give it to you. You do what you will with it. You are right. You are just. You are sovereign. I leave it at your feet. I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to do what your Word says. Cast my cares upon you. I'm going to choose to love my neighbor as myself. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord God. Father, for your Word. God, for your direction in our lives. God, for the insight and the truth, God, that you bring to us. God, teach us each day, God, to love more deeply. God, to forgive more freely. And God, to receive what you would have for us, God, into our lives through humbling ourselves, through submitting ourselves to you, God, through being obedient to your Word, to your call on our life. Father, we thank you for this. We ask your blessing for those gathered here today. In Jesus' name, amen.